implements to serve Hashem.
What tool do we have? Some might say learning Torah is our chief implement to serve Hashem. Some might say avoda, doing mitzvahs. But truly, the most important thing we have is das, is our head, is our knowledge, is our thinking skills. That's the most important thing we have to serve Hashem, is thinking, the ability to think. When we say in the morning the bracha, tachonein la'adam dad, you give us a brain. You give us the ability to think things through, to philosophize, to ask questions. And so das, which is the understanding and the wisdom and the awareness of God, is our most precious gift. And it is this mental ability on our part that enables us to think properly. It enables us to focus on the actions we're doing. It enables us to have kavana. So I'll give you an example. Davening. As you know, and you probably have experienced, davening can be a robotic act. You sit, you stand, you bow, you shuckle, you say a few words, maybe say a lot of words, and then, you know, the whole time, you're at Machane Yehuda, you know, like the whole time, so you're doing all the stuff, you're saying all the words, but like, you know, the thing tells the story, there's a great rabbi in the last century, Rav Shvadrom, and he said, you know, one time I was shopping in the shuk, he said, this rabbi, he said, and somebody started punching me in the shuk. And then I realized I was in the middle of Amida, and I was doing slakla, you know, right? Because our minds wander, it's true. So real davening, we all feel this, we all struggle with this, but real davening depends on our thoughts. So even if we can have kavana for a moment or two, that is meaningful. Because Hashem wants our hearts more than anything. So even if you're davening, and I'm leading up to Shabbos, don't worry, I'm not on the wrong topic. But even if you're davening and you remember for 1 minute that you're standing before Hashem, or for one word or one phrase or one tefillah, you got it, you're focused, and you're speaking from your dot, from your brain and from your heart, you're doing well. Even if it's that one moment. Of course, you'd like it to be more. Lot, as they say. Slowly. It's the lack of dot, or the lack of ability to think properly, that robs a person of the ability to see that Hashem is with him. If you're not thinking, if you're not aware, if you're just so busy running, and doing and surviving, which so many people are, then who has time to think about God? Like, I'm busy running. And who has time to thank Hashem? One of the great experiences of your life is being in seminary, where you actually do have time to think and to thank. And don't take this for granted, because you're going to go into what they call real life. But I call this real life, but what they call real life, and you'll be running, and you're like, who has time to think, and who has time to thank? And so, in a certain way, where people run through life with no appreciation, like on a drive, to get things done, do the list. In order for us to be any kind of good Jew, we have to, or any kind of actually human being, one has that peace of mind. What we call in Hebrew, menuchas ha-nefesh, menuchat ha-nefesh. Menucha means what? Rest. But it's more than rest. It's a kind of serenity. Like, I'm at peace. Menuchat ha-nefesh, my soul is at peace. My soul is okay. I'm good. And without that, menuchas ha-nefesh or menuchat ha-nefesh, it is very difficult to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I like to talk about what Menuchas HaNefesh is and where we get it from. So first of all, Menuchas HaNefesh is being present with Hashem. Using one's dot, one's mind, to focus on Hashem. And we said before that the most important service of Hashem is in our mind. Kadosh Baruch Hu Rachmana Labia. Hashem wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. So the most important thing in serving Hashem is you have to know that nothing, there's nothing in your mind that doesn't include Him. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, right? There's a kind of menuchas ha-nefesh, a composure of knowing Hashem is with me. And I'm thinking of Hashem, and I'm aware of Hashem. So, again, if I had to describe what nuchas nefesh, and maybe it's a new concept for some of you, and maybe some of you have experienced it sometimes, it's our goal really in life to experience this all the time, to live like this. What's nuchas nefesh then? What am I describing? It's stepping back from the storms of life to reflect and to be steady with Hashem. Right? There's things going on, but like, God is with me. It's to be, we call the word amun. Amun is like the word emunah, steadfast with God. Steadfast. I'm with Him, He's with me, and I know that. And when I have that feeling that He's with me and I'm with Him, right? I have an uchas nefesh, I have an internal serenity. No matter what's going on, it can be very hard, but God is with me. It can be very lonely, but God is with me. Those are realities in life. We have hard things, we have lonely things, but God is with me, brings me menuchas ha-nefesh. Menuchas ha-nefesh is the tranquility that comes from being in the presence of Hashem. And knowing that He's with me in whatever's happening. And it's banishing all the other thoughts that get in the way of that relationship. Banishing the physical world. To an extent, obviously, you got to eat and dress and get to the bus and all that stuff. But you could do all of that with Hashem. And then, you know, what you eat or how you eat or the bus, you know, you're not alone in it. You're with Hashem. You have menuchas ha-nefesh. And when you live like that, your mind becomes like a light that illuminates your path. You know, so something's hard, or I miss the bus, or it's a little frustrating, or it's annoying, or I feel rejected, or whatever it is. But you know what? I have the peace of mind to know God is with me. And it's going to be okay, one way or the other. When I say it's going to be okay, I don't necessarily mean it's what I want it to be, but okay is what God wants it to be. It's going to be okay. It's going to be what God wants it to be, and I'm at peace with that. However it works out, I'm at peace with that. There's a pasuk in Bereishis. Actually, I did give out the source sheets, right? Is there an extra one? Okay, so take it downstairs and make some more. Ask Mrs. Migdal for some more copies. You share whatever. A Rabbeinu Bachai on the pasuk Vayar Menucha Kitov, speaking about Yisachar, the tribe of Yisachar. Yaakov is blessing Yisachar before his death, and he says, the Yar Menucha Kitov. He sees Menucha, rest, serenity. He sees that it's good. And the end of the pasuk, which I should have written here, is Vayet Shichmo, Vayet O Lizbo. And he puts his shoulder blades to the burden. He sees a resting place, right? That sounds great. Sounds like Hawaii. He sees a resting place. And he puts his shoulders, the yoke, the ol, to work. You understand? So what's that resting place? Torah. And I was, and Torah comes with work. And Yisachar was a tribe that learned. So on that pasuk says Rabbeinu Bachaya, "Shetzricha menucha gufi yigit ha-nefesh." Because we need two things in life. We need menuchas ha-guf. Our body needs rest, right? That's why God creates sleep. Or maybe create a body that needs sleep. But our body needs rest. V'yigia t'nefesh. And our soul needs yigia. Toiling. Our soul needs to work hard. So, like, you usually think the other way around, you know? Like, so, my body needs to rest, but my soul needs to work hard. Yigia. V'hevach mizkeolam. That's the opposite of way that the world thinks. The world thinks shetzrichim yigia t'aguf. They have to work hard. World thinks you have to work hard. You got to make $1 million, and that's going to be hard work. And the world also thinks menuchas ha-nefesh. I don't have to work so hard with my soul. I'm just going to go with it. right? That's what the world thinks. Like, put your effort in the physical world so you can make a lot of money and you can have a power and prestige and position. And you know, as far as your soul is, like, whatever, do what you feel like. But Judaism said the opposite. You know, Judaism says, work your soul. You don't have to work your body so hard. Work your soul. Right? That's where your work should be. That's where your idea should be. So what does that look like? What does it look like when your soul works and your body rests? So one thing it looks like is, it looks like we're centered. And the distress of our life, whatever that is, and who doesn't have it, and who doesn't have it today at this moment. Right? Everybody's stressing about something at this very moment. Everybody. It might be about what's for lunch. It might be like, you know, who's going to give me a ride in England? It might be, I don't know. But everyone's stressing about something. But Menuchas HaNefesh is putting the distress of my life in perspective of life's purpose. In perspective of life's purpose, what does it matter what we're having for lunch? In perspective of life's purpose, what does it matter how I'm going to get from Heathrow to Golders Green? It doesn't really matter. It's a stress. Put it away. In perspective of life, it's nothing. And I can guarantee you each one of your little stresses also is like that, and maybe even our big stresses are like that. Menuchas HaNefesh is that calming, refocusing myself on the purpose of life, on the fact that Hashem is with me, my awareness of God, and putting away, if you will, that list that we all have of physical things I have to do or that I have to accomplish, right? Put it away for a little bit. Be with God. Again, we all have lists. Some of our lists are endless. Some of our lists are organized, and some aren't so organized. But put it away, because the purpose of life isn't the list. In reality, the list should be about getting to my purpose in life. So let me give you an example. On my list, I don't know what's on your list, but I'll just tell you my problems today. On my list, you know, I have to go to Cheaper Call, buy food. On my list, I have to do laundry. Okay, let's just start with those two. Right, now, that isn't my purpose in life, Cheaper Call or laundry. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But laundry is part of my purpose in life because it's a chesed I do for my family. And so is Cheaper Call. It's a chesed I do. Now that takes it into something that I have to run to something that's very focused and centered on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Hashem. Because Hashem put me in this world to do chesed, and what bigger chesed it is to feed my family or to do the laundry. And so once I start thinking like that, then, and I start thinking that whatever my stress is part of my avoda. You know, the fact that I don't love going shopping, tell you the truth. But you know what? It's part of my avoda. It's part of the way I serve Hashem. So I have to get the food so I can make dinner, right? So I can feed my family with me. And then I have Hashem with me on this journey. I'm not alone. And that brings me Menuchas HaNefesh. It's a way of thinking. Are you following this idea? It's a way of thinking. It's refocusing, recentering my life on Hashem. Now, we all know that we have an animal soul and we have a divine soul. Our animal soul is our instinct. You got to eat, you got to drink, you got to sleep, you know, instinct. We have an animal soul that tells us what our bodily needs are. And God builds in our animal soul that instinct to take care of ourselves. Right? But we also have a divine soul. We have what we call neshama. And a neshama is the part of me that connects with Hashem. The part of me that only wants to do the will of God. None of us are really aware of our neshama, by the way. The part of us we know of ourselves is more like our nefesh, more like our animal self, our personalities, our emotions, our desires, right? Our divine soul is so beyond, it's in us, but we're not so aware of it. We're not so in touch. We're always trying to get there. That's our yearning in life, is try to connect with my divine soul, with my neshama. But if my animal soul is controlling me, I'll eat what I want, I'll drink what I want, I'll talk what I want, I'll say what I want, I'll just go with the flow, then my animal soul is controlling my divine soul. Right? Then my animal soul is in charge. So my mind is confused because the intellectual part of me, the dot, the part that thinks, is being taken over by the animal soul, by my instincts, my animal instincts. Yes? And the result is that if I can become very paralyzed by that, actually. You fall asleep. Your animal soul actually goes into a depression. The minute you start only acting on your animal self, you get depressed. You want to know why the world is depressed? You want to know why all your friends, everybody out there? Because they're focused on their animal soul, and they're depressed, and they're asleep, and they're sad, and they're in a stupor, and they're distressed. Yeah? Because they're focused on, like, the shopping, and the laundry, and the vacation, and, the, you know, like, it's like, they're not focused on their soul. They have no peace of mind. They have no peace of mind. They have no, like, what's my purpose in life, and how does everything lead to that? Chazal used an example. It's an interesting example. It's a metaphor. And they say there's a certain kind of bird. It's a metaphor. Don't get taken too seriously. A certain kind of bird that gets hypnotized by a snake. What? It's a mythical bird that gets hypnotized by a snake. And, you know, and the snake then lures the bird into its trance, into its, you know, into its clutch, and the bird totally loses its freedom, and the bird is terrorized by the snake that really, you know, hypnotized it. And the metaphor is that bird is our intellect, that bird is our neshama, and the snake is our body, is our physical nefesh. And our physical nefesh, the snake, can just wrap itself around the bird, about our soul, and we become trance. So, therefore, we have to protect our minds. It's very important that we protect our minds at all times so that we don't get lost, so that we don't become hypnotized to lots of other distractions. So when our mind's in control, then... A person can stick to the path for the most part. You lose it once in a while. But when you're not using your mind, when you're not using your dot, when you're not using your higher self to control your body, it's easy to get lost. And then, as I said before, you get depressed. Menuchas HaNefesh is protecting your mind. Menuchas HaNefesh is the serenity that comes from being in the presence of Hashem. It's banishing the distancing thoughts. It's keeping Hashem in the forefront. It's knowing that my bird can fly and that I am a bird and I'm not a snake. And so, you know, before I kind of jokingly said, you know, now you're not, you think you're not in the real world, and I think this is the real world. Remember that little statement? Well... Menuchas HaNefesh doesn't mean that you're not in the real world. It means that when you're in the real world, when you're working, when you're running, when you're going shopping, when you're doing laundry, when you're all those things, when you're doing all that, you're with Hashem and you're living life to the fullest. Because everything has a purpose. It's not just a chore, it's an avodas Hashem. It's using our energies in the right way. Menuchas HaNefesh does not mean freedom from work. In fact, it does entail work. Because you have to move, and you have to go, and you have to change. But when you do all that, wherever you go, you're in the Beit HaMikdash. You're in the bus, the Shekhinah is with you. You're on the plane, the Shekhinah is with you. You're in Sharin, the Shekhinah is with you. In the Makola, the Shekhinah is with you. Where you're walking down the street, the Shekhinah is with you. God is with you. You're in the Beit HaMikdash. Because in your mind... That's where you're focused. True, I'm shopping. Oh yeah, I need those tomatoes. True, oh, I live in four pans? Yeah, right. But in my mind, I'm in the Beit HaMikdash with Hashem. It's not because I'm doing chesed, and that's my purpose in life. So yes, we're still in a physical world, you know, and yes, we're doing it from a centered place. So you go to work, let's say, and you buy the water cooler. They still have those water coolers, right? And so, you know, and so you know what people do with water coolers. I have to tell you, besides drinking water. But you're thinking, I'm not speaking Lashon Hara here. I'm just gonna. Here's what I'm doing. I'm gonna smile. Hi, have a good day. You know, can I help you with something? But I'm not going to the Lashon Hara part, and I am gonna focus on the. Oh, that's a human being. How do I be nice to this person and make them feel good? Do you follow? And that, and if I work like that, then I'm in the Beit HaMikdash every single day. Even though I'm an accountant or a secretary. Or a computer person? Programmer? Guess I'm not one of those. Huh? So, where do we get this menuchas and nefesh? You know? And the answer to that is Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of composure. Shabbos is a day of menucha. It's a day of refocusing on my purpose of life. It's a day of focusing on Hashem. It's a, there's one of the tefillot of Shabbos. I'm going to come back to it. It's on the second page, but in the middle it says, "Menucha shleima she'ata rotzeh ba." It's a complete rest that you want. And what is the rest that God wants from us? He wants us to rest He wants our minds to be in a tranquil state. He wants our minds to be with Him. Now that doesn't mean you sit all day and go, Hashem, Hashem. No. You know, it means that when you stop everything else in the physical world, why are you doing that? Hashem. When you stop everything else in the physical world, what are you saying to yourself? Like, you know what? That's done. I'm over with that for now. And where am I? I'm on Shabbos with Hashem. Shabbos is a day of das. Once a week, we are divested of so many harassments of life. Maybe that once a week we can think about our Creator and His multiple gifts to us. I want to look with you on number 2. At the time of the giving of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to the children of Israel and said, "Bini, my son, mecha tov yesi ba'olam. I have a good gift in this world. I'm giving it to you. Forever. La'ad la'olam. A gift that lasts forever. That's better than, I don't know, what's the name of that website they promise you it's forever? Just one. Huh? No, diamonds is there forever. There was one website they used to guarantee it, whatever you bought, like forever. Really, it's true. But really, this is Le'olam Va'ed. Like, forever, I'm giving you a great gift.
Lifetime guarantee.
What?
Lifetime guarantee.
Lifetime. More than lifetime. After lifetime guarantee. Inta gablu ha-Torah ti-petishu ha-mitzvah. If you receive my Torah and you keep my mitzvahs, yeah. So we answered God when He gave us that proposal. Ribono shel olam, Master of the Universe, Eizo mekach tov she'ata noten lanu. What is this great gift you're giving us? Im nishmor Torah tzecha, if we keep your Torah. Like, what gift you're giving us? Mishiva Kadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lehem, Kadosh Baruch Hu answers them and says, Zeh ha'olam haba, the great gift I'm giving you is the next world. The next world. It lasts forever and ever. The next world. You know, Jewish people, they want to know what they're getting. So, you know what, you're not just going to buy Olam Haba, like, you know, yeah, you expect me to buy, like, the Brooklyn Bridge. And Olam Haba, both of them? So, so Israel answers the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam, ein dugma shel Olam Haba. Ribono shel, basically the universe, show us an example of Olam Haba, the next world. Like, give us a little, like, like a little taste. Like, we don't know what you're talking about. Yeshiva Kadosh Baruch Hu va'amar lahem zeh Shabbos. Kadosh Baruch Hu answers them and says, oh, Shabbos is a little example of the next world. Echad yishishim shel olam haba shekulo Shabbos. Shabbos is 1/60th of olam haba. It's me'ein olam haba. It's a taste. It's a drop. It's 1/60th of olam haba. Because Shabbos is menuchas ha-nefesh. Right? Shabbos is let it all go. Whatever you were worried about, whatever you were working on, let it go. Relax. Think of Hashem, daven. Learn a little. Rest a little. Rest your mind. Most of all, rest your mind. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about all those lists and all that money you don't have or that you wish you had. Stop worrying about your problems. Right? When you stop, that's what Shabbos is. Right? And so God gives us a little taste. Shabbos is a little taste of Olam Haba. So how do we find the way to Olam Haba? So if we try to find a way to Shabbos, we'll get close to the path of Olam Haba. Because Shabbos, as I said, is me'en Olam Haba, just a taste, a drop, a little, 1/60th of Olam Haba. In Bereishis, God tells us about Shabbos. Vayechulu ha'shamayim va'aretz v'chotzvam. And obviously, this is part of Kiddush. The land, the heavens and the earth were finished. V'chotzvam and all of the stars and all the constellations. V'yichal alukim b'yom ha'shvi, and God rested on the seventh day. Lachto asher asaf, the work that he had done. V'yishvot b'yom ha'shvi, and God rested on the seventh day. Mikom lachto asher asaf, all his work that he did. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because on that day he rested from all his work that he had done. Gosh, God is as tired as I am. How many times does it say he rested here? It says he stopped, he rested, and then it says he rested. It said he rested again. Like, really? I don't know. I thought when God said Yehi Or, like, it was so easy for God that there'd be light. Like, just made light. Oh my gosh, that's exhausting. So, right? I mean, maybe I need rest, but God? So, what? God created the world in 6 days, and nothing is missing from physical creation. Nothing. By Yehulu, it's all done. But then there's something still lacking in the world. What's still lacking in the world is menucha. And menucha, serenity, being at one with Hashem, being just resting in Hashem's shadow, is a creation. It's a creation of the seventh day. It's the seventh day God created Shabbos. Menucha sanefesh. And so it's its own creation. It's Rav Dester, by the way. It's his own creation. And so we're not speaking about a day of laziness or emptiness or weariness or exhaustion. We're speaking about resting from focusing on the rest of the world, on the everything else in my life. And obviously, God doesn't need to rest. He wasn't exhausted after 6 days of creation. Oh my gosh, he worked so hard. And I need to rest. But what God is saying here is, there comes a time to stop creating. To stop, so to speak, being in the world. Even for me, so to speak. Now, you might ask yourself a question. Well, if that's true, like, well, how does the world keep going if God is resting on Shabbos? So obviously, he's still running the world on Shabbos. But he makes Shabbos a day of internal focus. Focus on our neshama. Focus on what my purpose in life is. My purpose isn't my job. And my purpose isn't, you know, my nightly excursions. And Bettina, I'm really sorry, but my purpose isn't even a wine testing party. Oh. I know. Yeah. My purpose is to live a godly life. My purpose is to live a godly life, and once a week I stop and I remind myself, I'm Jewish, I have Torah, I have Shabbos. And by the way, always remind yourself it's a gift. Shabbos is a tremendous gift. I want to look at Rashi on what we just read. V'yichal Elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i. God rested on the seventh day. He stopped on the seventh day. Mahaya ha'olam chaser. What was the world missing? Menucha. What is missing is rest. Ba'a Shabbat, ba'a menucha. When Shabbos comes, rest comes. V'nigmira ha'malacha, and work is finished. You stop creating. God stops creating. Shabbos, actually for Hashem, begins the process of sustaining the world. It's finished, and now he's going to sustain the world. But for us, we have a mitzvah, number three. It's in the Ten Commandments, for those of you, or the Ten Suggestions. Just joking, okay? Not a suggestion. For 6 days, you will do your work. What's the end of it? And the 7 days for God. 6 days, you do your work, and you finish, and you finish it. So 6 weeks, 6 days you work, and do all your work. Okay, let me ask you a question. It's 4:17 on a Friday afternoon. It's candle lighting time. Did you finish all your work?
No.
Never. Right? Never.
Never.
Says Rashi. V'yasita kol melachtecha. You finished all your work. Shabbat Shabbat, when Shabbos comes, yehei beinecha ki'ilu kol melachtecha asuya. It should be in your eyes like it's all done. Like, in other words, it's I put it away. It's like it's all done. And you don't think about work on Shabbos. You know, it's a mental gymnastics in a way. You got to take whatever you're worried about, not just worried, whatever you're busy with. I have a project I'm doing. You know, I have a person I'm supposed to get in contact with. I have a budget I'm supposed to make. Whatever, everybody's busy, busy all week long. Comes 4:17 on Shabbos afternoon. You take all that stuff that you're not finished with, because who's finished ever? Right? And you put it in a drawer, and you say, you close the drawer, yeah? Along with all your muktzah. And you say, it's all done now. And I'm not going to think about it for the next 25 hours. I'm not. It's done. And you're not going to think about your project, and you're not going to think about what you have to get done, and you're not going to think about all those, you know, like... Really, maybe you're not going to think about, I don't know, running the marathon, and you're not going to think about your budget. You're just going to, you know, really, you're going to be with God. Be with God. You make kiddush, and you eat, and you relax, and you sing songs, and maybe you learn a little, and maybe you go to shul. I'm proud of a lot of you go to shul. I think that's really terrific, by the way. Right? Maybe you'll read the Parsha. You know, maybe Mr. Shem, you'll have a family, you'll play with your kids. You know, Ms. Hashem, like, you know what? It's believe me, that's work. But you know, it's a focus. What's the purpose of my life? You know, let's say, you know, I have four annoying children. You know what? But what is the purpose of my children? To build them, to bring them Torah, right? To be with them, to make them feel wanted and loved. What is the purpose? So again, not to say that that's not work. We're not talking about that. But I'm back at my purpose. That's what I'm focused on for the day. Menucha. Okay, so what I say in the afternoon davening, I'm back at the tefillah, the sitter. Again, I'm going to do this piece by piece. Back at sitter, first line after the second set of three dots. Menuchat ahava unedava. It's a rest of love and love and nedava is giving. Menuchat emet ve'emunah, a rest of emet, of truth, what's my purpose? Ve'emunah, and my steadfastness with God. Menuchat shalom v'sholva. It's a rest of peacefulness and serenity. Bashkeit, and secure, and tranquility, v'betach, and security. Menucha shleima shata rotzeba. It's a rest that you, God, want. So, God rested on the seventh, on this day, and he created Shabbos. Now, here's the thing. What's the purpose of God's first 6 days? Why did God, what? Shabbos! The whole purpose of the first 6 days is Shabbos. Just like your whole purpose of running to work every day is Shabbos. And your whole purpose of whatever else you're doing is that me'ein olam haba, that day of connection, that menuchas ha-nefesh, the das, the getting in touch with my mind and my purpose that comes with Shabbos. Do you follow what I'm saying? My life isn't about everything outside of Shabbos. I got to do those things, 100%. But that's not my purpose. My purpose, do you understand? My focus is to be with, my purpose to be with Hashem, is to have tranquility with God. And when God created Shabbos, that was his purpose also. I created a world, and I created man in that world. And now that I created a world and I created man in that world, my purpose is to be with man. Right? My purpose is to be a presence in the lives of people. And so, just like, so to speak, God rested from his creation, we also rest from our creation, our work. Okay. Now, one other thing I could say, and Rapinka says this actually. He says, you know, for 6 days a week, so to speak, God is behind the mechitza. You know? God is beautiful, right? God is hidden. He's behind the mechitza. Because I gotta get the bus, and I gotta get there, and I gotta get the project, and I gotta go shopping, and I gotta, right? And so God is sort of like, you don't have to work hard to see him. He's a little hidden behind the mechitza. Come Shabbos, you see him, you feel him, you're aware of him. He's there. And so come Shabbos, we go behind the mechitza also. Hi, God, I see you there. Peekaboo. Can I come in? Sure, Shabbos. So on the seventh day, we join Hashem, in the Mechitz of Kedusha. So, you know, and our work is done. And we say, Hashem, I'm leaving that side of the Mechitza. I'm coming to your side of the Mechitza. And the truth is, as I said before, our work is never done, but we suspend it. We suspend our work. We suspend our worry. And I learned a new terminology recently. Mobile phone anxiety disorder. It's another name for it is, by the way, nanophobia. Just saying, it does exist. I leave behind my cell phone, which causes a lot of anxiety. By the way, I mean, I didn't make that up. I looked it up in Wikipedia.
That must be true.
It must be true, right? Nanophobia. You can look it up if you don't believe me. Huh? You've heard of it?
Yeah.
A lot of anxiety.
There are retreats with no cell phone.
There's even one in Israel, by the way. If you can afford it, the Carmel spot.
Seriously, it's very expensive.
It's true. Our clinging to Hashem on Shabbos should be so great that there's no pull to think about what I have to do. And if it comes up in my mind, and I'm human, and it might, oh, you just popped up there, just put it back in the drawer with the muktzah stuff. Put it back in the drawer. It's a kind of interesting thing that on Shabbos you really do feel less of a pull to yourself. Did you notice that? I mean, that's just me, right? Like, you know... I'm on the computer also a lot, so I can identify with the phobia thing. But on Shabbos, it's all away. I don't wake up and think, "What's? Did I get an email?" I don't. You know, I could sleep late because I don't have anything to do. No emails to check at 6 a.m. And so, like, stay in bed. Oh, wow, amazing. Right? So, we are done. That's the asita kom lachtecha. When you have that feeling in Shabbos that you don't have a pull to do what you're normally doing, then you're really successful. You're really living with menuchas ha-nefesh. If you still have that pull, okay, don't worry about it. Try to mentally put it in your drawer. It's the best way to deal with it. On Shabbos, we realign with Hashem. What is life about anyway? You know, what am I here to do? On Shabbos, we rest physically and spiritually from the focus on our work and all other activities. But it's actually not that rest that defines Shabbos. It feels great, I admit. But resting from the physicality of the world, from the physical focus of the world, right? The physical focus, resting, just sitting. Amazing. That's an amazing thing. Just to sit. Yeah. Just to lay in bed, right? And I'm not focused on all the physical things I have to get done, right? But I'm back just being a person with Hashem. And again, this doesn't necessarily, I don't want to, you know, give anybody, doesn't necessarily do your thinking all day and you're doing your, you know, your, what's it called? Meditations, Hashem. It just means I am with Hashem. I've stopped everything else. Just by doing Shabbos, I'm with Hashem. And I'm focusing on my life and what my life is about. So the rest of Shabbos is the reconnection with Mekor HaBracha, with the source of bracha, of all bracha. We say that in Kabbalat Shabbat, in the I think it's in Lecha Dodi. We say, he mekor ha-bracha. Shabbos is the source of bracha. Who's the source of bracha? Hashem. What Shabbos? I connect with Hashem. Source of all the bracha in my life is Hashem. And on Shabbos, I sit with Hashem. So, it is true that Oneg Shabbos entails food and drink and pleasure. But let me explain the difference between the food and drink and pleasure of every day and the food and drink and pleasure of Shabbos. Because there really is a difference. On our weekday, we use the physical world to find the spiritual one. So we look for Hashem in the car, and we look for Hashem in the food, and we look for Hashem in the errands, and we look for Hashem on the subway. We're in a physical world looking for Hashem. As I said, I take Hashem with me. I could be in the Beit HaMikdash all the time, even though I'm in the real world. Right? Yeah. On Shabbos, I'm in a spiritual world. And that defines the food that I eat and the pleasure that I have. I'm behind the mechitza with Hashem. And that defines that I drink kiddush, that I eat challah, that I have cholent, right? And by the way, anybody who thinks vegetarian cholent is cholent, I'm really sorry. Just joking, Amy. So, I once got when I was in college, I had a test. I had a test on Hilchos Shabbos, and the professor was a Chabadnik. So anyway, one of his that's going to become important in a minute. So one of his questions was, can you have cholent on Pesach? So I wrote yes, right? Because you can make cholent with potatoes and without meat, barley. Without barley, without kidney. You know. Anyway, I failed that question. It's true. So I went up to him afterwards. I said, Rabbi Metzger, like, why is it off? You can have cholent. He said, you call that cholent? That's not cholent. And that's when I learned what cholent really was. It doesn't have barley and beans, it ain't cholent. At least according to my professor. So Shabbos is the spiritual that defines the physical. So that's why the food of Shabbos tastes differently. Do you ever notice that? Yeah. It's amazing. The food of Shabbos tastes different than the food of the week. Because there's kedusha in the food. Because when I make my Shabbos food, I have kavana. It should be good for Shabbos. Right? Right. And so my physical food is no longer just food. I mean, Shalom on Thursday night is not Shalom Shabbos. It's not the same thing. Right? Not the same thing. It doesn't have the same kavana. It doesn't have the same kedusha. My teacher, Rav Goldberg, those of you in my Medrash class know that most of what I teach is his Torah in Medrash. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Keren B'Yavneh. So I'll just tell you a little story. He said when Keren B'Yavneh is a Hesder Yeshiva, for those of you who don't know. And it was the first Hesder Yeshiva. And Rav Goldwicht actually opened it with the bracha of the Chazon Ish, who was the Gadol Ador at that time. But he said whenever one of his guys would get engaged, he would call, he'd say, oh, I'd like to meet your Kala, right? And he'd say to the Kala, when he met the Kala, and here she's 19, 20, 22 years old, she's petrified, to meet the Rosh Yeshiva. And he'd say to her, so do you know how to cook? This is really true. So he told us the story. And she'd like, either she'd say yes or she'd say no, you know what I mean? Like, I do, I don't know. Whatever she said, she was nervous. So he said, could I offer you a recipe? And so of course she'd say, if Rosh Yeshiva wants to offer me a recipe, yes, of course. So he'd say, here's my recipe. Put kavana in your food. Because if you put your kavana in your food, your husband will learn better. Right? And by the way, when you're making your husband cookies, right, and you put kavana in those cookies, add a little kavana for his kavusa. Because that'll help. Right? Rav Goldberg said, when I was a little boy, he grew up in Meir Sharim, he's a Yerushalmi. He said, when I was a little boy, I always noticed the challah, my mother baked every day. But I always noticed the challah of Shabbos tasted better than the bread of the rest of the week. So I used to think it was a different recipe. Then I grew up, he said, I realized the different recipe was Shabbos. The challah of Shabbos has Shabbos in it. And it tastes better. Because you're tasting not only the food, you're tasting Shabbos. And so that's the difference between food during the week and food on Shabbos. The Kedusha on Shabbos is so great that all these physical things are totally subsumed by the Kedusha. On condition, of course, that there's Kavana in that food. So Shabbos gives us the spiritual energy. We take that from behind the Mechitza, the spiritual energy of Shabbos, and we re-enter the work week with it. Renewed, because we reconnected with the source of life, with the Kor HaBracha, the source of Bracha. The Gemara in Shabbos says, number four, Shani Omer Psia Gasa Notela Rachat. So there's a rabbi, Rabbi Yishmael Ben Rabbi Yossi says, I maintain that a long stride, walking fast, takes away 500th part of a man's eyesight, but it's restored to him during Kiddush. Right? Did Miriam Bruma do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for those of you who weren't in Miriam Bruma's class, I'll say it quickly. All week we're running, and it makes us tired. Takes away our strength and because it's very stressful all our running, even if sometimes you're sitting home and you're a computer person, right? It's stressful. You got to get the project done. You got to get the computer program. I got it.
I just imagine someone
geek.
Dressed as a computer.
Just a geek. So what restores? So you lose your eyesight. What's your eyesight? When you're running, when you're stressed, it removes your insight, your vision, yeah, your sense of purpose, your dot. What restores our eyesight? Vayechulu Hashemayim. When we sit down and say Kiddush, we say, God finished, and nothing in this world is going to happen in this world unless God wants it to happen. And God finished creating the world. And that job doesn't belong to me. I don't have to finish creating the world. All the problems in the world, they're not my problem. They're God's problem. And so I don't have to lose my composure. Hashem is handling everything. So I heard Rabbi Victor Miller say that that's what Kiddush means. Kiddush means when you say Vayechulu Hashemayim, the heavens and earth were finished, and then you drink the wine, the Kiddush. The wine, that wine, he says, washes the message down your throat. Right? Like, okay, God finished, and I'm finished. You know, like, you swallow it. And that Kiddush cheers you up, and that's why, you know, wine is a thing, Penina. So, everything's under control. That's what Kiddush reminds me of. Everything's under control. God's finished, I'm not in charge. It's going to be what God wants it to be, with or without my efforts. And when I remember that, I can function better. It restores my eyesight, restores my insight, my vision. And after Shabbos, we say Abdullah. Many people have a custom when they say Abdullah, it's not a halacha, it's a custom, to take from the wine and touch their eyes, right, and touch their heads, and right, and touch their pockets. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? Dipping our fingers in the wine. Who gives me sight or insight? Hashem. Who gives me knowledge and wisdom and understanding? Hashem. Who takes care of my physical needs?
Hashem.
So Hashem, what I've restored on Shabbos is that vision that Hashem takes care of all of that despite my running. That I have parnasa because Hashem gives me parnasa. But I have insights because Hashem gives me insights. And so hopefully I take them to the week. That idea that, you know, God gives me insight and he gives me wisdom and he gives me my parnasa, my way to make a living. And I could go take that into the week and feel less pressure. Okay, I have a few minutes. I just want to go through the this is from Minchat of Shabbos. I on the Siddur number 5. I did write all the words here in the bottom of the page if you want to take notes on the page itself. I had room, so I thought it would be a nice thing to do. You don't have to do it. Menuchas, I read it before. Menuchas Avivnav defines what it is. What is the menucha of love and generosity? So in the world we live in, menucha often means a break from the work of building the world. But for us it means letting Hashem give his bracha. Like, stop. Hashem loves us. He's generous with us. He's giving to us. And on Shabbos, I remember the source of all love is Hashem. The source of bracha, of nedava, is Hashem. Menuchat emet. A rest of truth. In the world, menucha means, often means, resting to restore physical energy. So that's not called, that's called, for us, it's called menucha sheker. It's a false resting. You know, you just take a nap on a Sunday afternoon. I don't think it's bad, but that's not called menucha. You take a vacation. Good, take a vacation, take me with you. But it's not called menucha. Right? Menucha's emes. It means leaving the business of worldliness behind and returning to Ruchnius and Kedusha. Right? It's funny, just a personal note, I'm just thinking as I'm saying this, you know, I like to, sometimes I'll have one or go to a hotel. You know, just to, you know, just to relax for a few days, 3 days, something like that. Right? And I never like to go on Shabbos. And this is a personal thing, I'm not telling you not to go on Shabbos. The reason I never want to go on Shabbos, to be honest with you, is because Shabbos is already rest for me. I'm going to be paying 2,000 shekels to do what I could do at home for free. Because it's a day of rest. It's a menuchas emes. It's a true getting away from the worldliness of the world. So I'd rather go on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Then I have 4 days. I have Shabbos and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. A longer vacation. A longer menucha. It's also Shabbos Emuna. It's a Shabbos, a person who struggles with financial security. Or struggles with trusting, you struggle with trusting Hashem. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get my rent? Where am I going to find a place to live? What, like, you struggle. Menucha reminds me, you know what, I'm not running the world. I'm going to make exactly what Hashem likes me to make. I'm going to live exactly where he wants me to live. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to meet whoever he wants me to meet. Right? And I can do my best in this world, but my best is just ishtadlus. The emunah tells me Hashem is doing it all. And by the way, not only those struggling with poverty need that message. Those struggling with stress need that message, those struggling with endless responsibilities need that message, that God is doing it all. People have an exhausting list of things today. It's a fast-paced, never-end-the-work world. Everybody needs to remember, stop, think, trust. Trust that Hashem will do what's best, and that, guess what? We don't always know what's best. We know what we want, but we don't always know what's best. On Shabbos, we restore that emunah. Menuchat, Shalom, Vishalva, Vaheshke, Vavetach. Those are, they all seem to be similar. Tranquility and inner peace and serenity. And the kind of menucha we've been talking about is that sense of being close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, behind the mechitza with him, leaving the physical world behind. Menucha Shleima Shata Rotzeba. Hashem, you want us to stop? Completely stopping our dependence on ourselves. Our egocentricity. You want us to be dependent on you. To stop and think about that. This is the rest you wanted. That we should focus on you and rely on you. Yakiru banecha v'yidu'ki mitzcha hi mechotam. Our children will recognize and will know that from you comes rest. Also, menuchas ha-nefesh is from Hashem. Like, one of the things we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we talk about, you know, like Hashem destines us. Some people have, he destines, it's in Unatanik Tokef. Some people he sends to a life of shalva, of tranquility. And some people he sends to a life of chaos, distress. It's not our decision. Our menucha should be so recognizable that other people will notice that the menucha of Shabbos is not laziness or uselessness, but kedusha and closeness to Hashem. And if we could live Shabbos like that, and people would see that, that would be a kiddush Hashem. That would bring Hashem into the world for people who see and for the world itself. So menuchas ha-nefesh is not, it's, you know, sometimes your friends ask you, you know, so what do you do on Shabbos? What do you do on Shabbos? And you say nothing. Nothing? You don't do nothing on Shabbos? No, I don't do nothing on Shabbos. I do nothing on Shabbos. And they think, how boring. And you think, how wonderful. The doing nothing on Shabbos isn't doing nothing. The doing nothing is knowing who you are and what you're here to accomplish. It's not what's important in life. It's setting the priority straight. It's getting back to the, so why do I go to the makolet and why do I do the laundry? Like, what's the purpose of it all? Oh, Hashem. Giving. Becoming a better person. Shabbos is makor habracha. And from that we draw menucha for the rest of the week. A verse from Hallel, the last source on your source sheet. Shuvi nafshi leminuchaychi. Return my soul to my resting place. Ki Hashem gamal alachi. Because Hashem provides support for me. And that's what Shabbos is. Returning our soul to our resting place. Trusting that Hashem has a purpose and a plan. That He is the Adon Olam, the Master of the Universe. Okay, one more point. Menuchas HaNefesh, being tranquil with myself, with God, is not that I have an absence of conflict in my life, but that the presence of Hashem is with me, no matter what the conflict is. And when I surrender to that, then I feel calm. Then I'm free. Then I'm home. I'm behind the machitza with Hashem. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you.